Father, today as we turn our attention to your word, we would ask that you would guide us, Lord, into your truth. I pray, Father, that we would fall ever more deeply in love with your word. It is that which you've given us, Lord. Indeed, it is a love letter, and we thank you for it. And in our journey through it this next year, Father, might it be a rich journey, Lord. I pray that you would stir the hearts of your people, Father, to become ever increasingly connected to your word. For it is our anchor, it is our hope. And we thank you for it. Lord, might your Holy Spirit move in power today as we journey through your word. Might our hearts and minds, Lord, be settled. Might we be encouraged in you, Lord. And I pray, Father, today, right now, that if there's anyone in this place, Father, that is dealing with that despair, Lord, that you would set them free. That you would raise them up and give them hope. Lord, infuse them with that divine peace that passes understanding. We will always give you all the praise and the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, which we'll be looking at today. You know, as you know, we live in an information age. So much information available. And as I was thinking about that, it caused me to think about all the people that the Lord put in my life over my life to be my instructors. From the teachers in the classroom to co-workers in the work environment to those who came alongside of me in my Christian journey. And all of those people were those who spoke into my life and caused me to become who I am today. And so I'm very thankful for them. But the best instructor, the ultimate instructor, is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who guides us into all truth. He's the one who quickens our understanding. He's the one who guides, directs, protects, exhorts, does all of these things in our lives. And so often we just kind of pass over it. We really don't think about that deeply. And I think we need to spend more time thinking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This chapter opens up with the statement of importance concerning instruction. And I hope that we as a body will be those who are willing to be instructed, that we have soft hearts and sharp minds, that we have an openness to what the Holy Spirit would not only say to us, but would say through us, because every single one of us has lives around us that we are impacting in one way or another. And that's why our focus is so important. As we focus upon the Lord, then that which comes out of our lives will be in tune with his heart. And that's so important today, I believe. In verse 1 of chapter 12, we read, "Whoso loves instruction loves knowledge, but he that hates reproof is brutish. A good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices shall he condemn." So as you read those verses, you realize that Solomon is telling us that it's a matter of focus. We can listen and learn, or we can avoid or ignore instruction and learn the hard way, if you will. I need to learn, you need to learn, to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. Because God does hate things. His word tells us so. And so we come into alignment with that. As I do that, as I learn to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates, it sets us on a firm foundation upon which then we can live our lives. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." There are some wonderful things that come from walking in obedience. That really is Solomon's point as he's doing a comparison and a contrast between goodness and wickedness, between evil and righteousness. And he's laying, if you will, a pattern for us to grab a hold of so that we might learn to walk with the Lord. In verse 3, he says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that makes ashamed is rottenness in his bones. And so what we find here is, he says, to be established is important. That idea of being stable. James talks about it in the book of James. He says, the double-minded man or woman is unstable in all his ways. But the stability comes into our lives when we enter into that connected relationship with the one that we call Savior, with the one that we call Lord. We find ourselves being stabilized, being settled, being placed in that wonderful environment where we are immovable, if you will. Psalm 1 talks about that, being planted by the rivers of water and the results that come from that. That the things that we undertake to do will prosper. And that's how the Lord has set things up. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind. That kind of sounds like pretty much he wants all of us, not just part of us. He wants us to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to infiltrate every part of our lives, to bring us to that place where we can say, follow me as I follow Christ. It brings us to that place as far as I am able, Lord, I am trying to honor you in the decisions that I make. And so, Lord, to that end, I need your strength, I need your power, I need your wisdom in order to make righteous decisions, right decisions. It really follows the saying that we are all in. And we have to ask ourselves a question, and perhaps it's a very relevant question today as we go into 2024. Are we all in? Are we all in for Jesus? Are we sold out to him? Are we willing to say, yes, I stand to be counted. I want to be counted as one who is a lover of the Lord. He says there in verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that makes ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Interesting, as he's talking about the importance of instruction, he says the virtuous woman or the excellent woman carries with it the idea, really, of having strength and ability and efficiency and wealth, a richness of spirit, but a richness materially as well. You see that as you read Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman. She was all about getting it done, not only for her family, but in the community as well. And I love that. You see, those traits are not a threat to her husband, but rather a blessing. Solomon calls it a crown. And so we have to choose. We have to choose how we're going to live our lives. Ladies, you have to choose. Are you going to be the helpmate to your husband? Are you going to come alongside and be strong when he's not and be willing to follow his lead and do the things that the Bible talks about? I have to say, I'm so thankful for my wife. She's put up with me for 38 years. And that's amazing. That's a miracle. That's just goes to say the miracles are still for today. But she is that. She is so patient with me. I'm continually losing things. And the other day I lost my keys. She said, you know what? We need to get you a hook to put your keys on. I said, that won't help. I'd lose the hook too. I'm continually leaving things laying around and then I'm tearing the house apart. I don't know if you have that problem. You know, a while back I was looking for my glasses and I found out that they were like this. Yeah. Have you ever done that? Yeah. So anyway, but she is strong where I am weak And I'm so thankful for that. It's not a threat to me. I appreciate her strengths and I appreciate her willingness to walk with the Lord and to walk with me. And our marriages can be that in every situation, every circumstance. We just have to choose to be mutually submitted to one another, to know that God has the best design. And when we walk according to his design, it's going to be followed by a richness of a relationship that we can only dream of without Jesus. So let's commit to do that. Let's commit to be the husband, to be the wife, to be the marriage that God has designed for us as we walk together in agreement. In verse 5, we read, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." The thoughts of the righteous are right. That should beg the question, what do we think about? What are the things that we muse during our day? When we're in the privacy of our own mind and we're in a time when we can just kind of rest and relax, what is that which comes to our mind? Well, Proverbs later on in chapter 23, it says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Or, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Those things which we muse on, those things which we contemplate, those things which we roll around in our head, it is that which is going to guide us, direct us, and cause us to live the life that is a result of those thoughts. Jesus would talk about guarding the heart. Job would say, "I made a covenant with my eyes, but the eyes are the eye gate to the heart." You see, so we have to decide that. We are really talking about a transformed mind. The thoughts of the righteous are right. I like that. See, when I'm walking rightly before the Lord, then that which I'm thinking about is going to be pleasing to Him and is going to be edifying to me and to those around me. I so love fellowship with you as we sit around the table breaking bread together or we're just sitting and visiting or whatever it happens to be, when we can talk about the things of the Lord. I mean, we can talk about other things as well, but the idea is that Jesus is in the midst of it. And it's so rich when that happens. Verse 7 says, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised." In verse 8, we see the commendation of the Lord, and there is nothing like God's commendation. It brings to us a quiet understanding. Have you ever been in that place where you just know that the Lord is pleased at that moment with you? That's so wonderful to have that feeling, that understanding. I love that. And He does that in our lives as we walk with Him. God's not all about just correction. He's about edification, about encouragement as well. When David was early in his kingship, in the book of 2 Samuel, we read these words. "And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that He had exalted His kingdom for His people Israel's sake." When we find ourselves in that place where we understand that God is pleased, we know that the impact of our lives is going to be amazing on those around us. It's not a matter of pride. We've heard it said here before many times. It's not about us. It's all about Him. But He does His work through us. And that's exciting. That's exciting to realize that the God of heaven does His work through us. Lord, use me. Lord, help me to be all that You want me to be. Help me to perceive, like David, that You've established my dominion, if you will, my sphere of influence, so that I can then impact this world for Jesus. And I know that many of you are doing that. Going out and sharing your faith or just simply carrying with you the fragrance of Jesus into the lives of other people. It changes things. It changes environments. And I love how that works. In verse 9, we read, "He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honors himself and lacks bread." You know, that verse could actually be rendered, "Better is a man of humble standing who works for himself." Better is a man of understanding who works for himself rather than the one who honors himself and lacks bread. For us, we need to realize God is calling us to prepare ahead of time, to be ready, so that when the attack comes, when the criticism happens, we can stand before God with a clear conscience. And when those people, when the things are being thrown at us or we're being accused, we can simply have that quiet confidence that we are pleasing before our Lord. And we don't have to own that. We just have to understand that's the evil one's way of trying to take us down. Be faithful so that when harsh words come, you can stand before God and say, Lord, I've done my best to do it your way. All of this is going on is in your hands. I marvel as I read through the Psalms, and I love the Psalms. But again and again and again, you see David talking about, Lord, I've walked rightly before you, and all of my enemies are coming against me. You know, you don't really hear a lot about that as you're going through David's life. I mean, it touches on it here and there. But as you read through the Psalms, you realize that it's a regular occurrence as the king of Israel. People are coming against him all the time. And so too will they come against you as you walk with Jesus faithfully, particularly in these days. That is accelerating big time in our world, the persecution of believers. We don't see it as much here in the United States, but it's happening in an increasing fashion here. But we see it in other places of the world. What we experience, though, when we walk faithfully with him, even in the face of persecution, is an ultimate satisfaction to know we're exactly where God wants us to be. And he's numbered our days. We will not leave this place prematurely. When it's time, he'll usher us into his presence. You know, I think about that. When it's time, he will usher us, he will usher me into his presence. I don't know when that's going to be. It could be down the roads a ways. That would be fine with me. I kind of like hanging out with you guys. But the Lord knows. So do right ahead of time. Lay the groundwork so that when those things come against you, you have a clear conscience. Verse 10. A righteous man regards the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that follows vain persons is void of understanding. We have to be mindful of those that provide for us. Now, Solomon talks about it in the context of taking care of their animals. They were in an agrarian economy, so animals were very, very important. But it's more than that. It's being good stewards of those who meet our needs, who work to minister to us. So important that we maintain those relationships. We were talking the other day about deferred maintenance. Deferred maintenance is never a good idea. And I work with government on occasion, a lot. And when you sit down with them and you begin talking about like public facilities, many of these jurisdictions have been on a deferred maintenance program for years. And they're one breakdown away from not having certain things in their jurisdiction. Why? Because they didn't take care of business. They didn't take care of those things which were providing for them. Guys, take care of those which are providing for you. Don't take it for granted. Whether it's a mate or children or coworkers, be sure and take care of those relationships. Be sure and express thanksgiving for what they're doing for you. Are they getting paid to do it or whatever? Maybe, but it doesn't matter. Let them know you appreciate them, what they're doing. It makes all the difference. It makes a lot easier to serve. Verse 12, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Wrapped up in there is the idea of delighting ourselves in the Lord. The changes that take place as we do that are supernatural changes. No longer will we desire those things of the evil man, but we'll experience that root of righteousness that's yielding fruit in our lives. I want my heart to be at peace. I want my mind to be at rest. I want to be in that place, and I hope you do too, where we know that we're ready to be used by the Lord. at any given moment. It's so important. Because as we walk with him faithfully, as we stay away from the evil one's net and all of those things, as we experience the root of righteousness, it harkens back to Mark chapter 16. Because as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, it says this, these signs will follow those who believe. Do you want to experience, do I want to experience the miraculous, the supernatural in my life? I just need to walk with Jesus faithfully. And the Lord's promise says that those things will follow us. We don't have to chase after them. They'll become the natural fruit of who we are. As we lay hands on someone and pray for their marriage, or we pray for a healing in their body, or we pray for a calm spirit, or whatever it happens to be, that's powerful. As you impart the ministry of the Holy Spirit into their lives, there's power in the laying on of hands. So important for us to know and understand that. Never discount that. The touch, not only from an emotional standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, that connection that takes place. But I would say this, be careful about who you allow to lay hands on you. I remember my dad told me that years ago when he was still alive, when I was just a kid. He said, be careful who you allow to lay hands on you, because a spirit, evil spirits can be imparted. We can't be possessed as believers in Jesus Christ, but we can certainly be possessed. Or rather, I'm sorry, we cannot be possessed as a believer, but we can be oppressed. And so we look at that and we realize, okay, if I have a brother or sister in the Lord that I know that wants to come and lay hands on me and pray for me, praise God for that. But the one that I don't know, or even in the medical realm, you think about that as well. We need to be cautious about that. We need to pray through it. And I know that some of you are very sensitive about those things, and I can appreciate that. But the Holy One within us will give us wisdom and understanding in that. Lord, help me to know. Help me not to expose myself to anything that would bring me down. We need to believe that when it talks about believe there, that the idea of believing, it is the idea of to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, or place confidence in. That's a lot of words, but it just simply says, if I truly believe, then I will live it out. I put my faith and trust in this one I call Jesus, my eternal destination, as have many of you, maybe most of you, or maybe even all of you. I don't know. But if you don't know Jesus, get to know him so that you can, with confidence, know that you're going to heaven and that the Lord can begin using you for his glory. In verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. Those verses explain a lot. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. That explains why we see what we see in the world about us right now. Have you ever asked yourself the question, how can people say that or think that or do that? Solomon tells us right here. The fool, the immoral person, is a deceived person. They've allowed the evil one, the devil, to deceive them, to blind them to the truth, so they're able to then embrace the lie. And that's why one of the most important prayers, I believe, as we're ministering to people who don't know Jesus, is, Lord, open their eyes that they might see the truth. Remove the blinders, Lord, as we share the truth with them of God's word. Give them, quicken them with understanding about what you want to do in their life. That's a powerful prayer, and it's a needful prayer in our world in particular, because many, many people are deceived. But the godly receives guidance and direction and protection. The prudent man covers shame. The prudent man knows when to speak and when to be still. We need to know. We need to let our words be few until the Lord prompts us to speak. Sometimes we feel pressured to speak, but it's our own thinking. Lord, do you want me to speak? Is it time to speak? Have you ever walked away in an interaction with someone and you go, oh, I wish I'd have said this, or I wish I'd have said that? No, what the truth is, if God would have wanted you to say this or that, he would have quickened it to your heart, to your mind, and it would have come out your mouth. He didn't want you to share that at that point in time, but you can have it ready for the next time. So the Lord wants us to walk in a godly way, to learn, to consider when things happen, and to not be quick to respond. I'm sometimes too quick to respond. I need to step back, and I appreciate those of you who have learned that gift, if you will, to step back and consider before a response takes place. So often it protects and it prevents a lot of damage and a lot of hurt. In verse 17, he that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Did your parents ever tell you honesty is the best policy? I my parents told me that. I thought I had it tattooed on my forehead. But it's true. Honesty is the best policy. You see, Jesus links truth and freedom. Truth and freedom. He says, you shall know the truth and what? The truth shall set you free. So as I speak the truth into people's lives, when I'm honest with them, when I'm straightforward, when I'm not trying to trick them or deceive them or lead them in a way they shouldn't go, I'm much better off. A liar so often loses track of his lies. You ever known somebody like that? They tell so many lies, they're no longer sure what the truth is. And they're trying to figure out what they said so that they can make sure that they don't say something that's in conflict with the lie that they already told you. But if I'm telling the truth, I don't have to give that a second thought, because the truth will set me free and it will set them free as well. Evil demands lying to cover up the evil. And we see that in our political realm. Our politicians stand up and they lie to our faces. And we know they're lying, and they know they're lying. But it's like one man in the Second World War said, if you tell a lie enough times, it will begin to become the truth. That's not a true statement, but people will begin to believe the lie. And so we need to know and understand that. Be honest in your dealings. Be men and women of integrity. Stand up and say the truth in love, and let the Lord sort out the details. In verse 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. He really takes us back to the matters of the heart. And he tells us that we need to cultivate a quiet and pure heart, because the result of that is going to be joy. They that deal truly are his delight. And the Lord delights in those who walk faithfully with him. Verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Let me back up to verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. I love that verse. But he tells us there in verse 23, don't get caught up in announcing how smart you are. We don't have to convince people how smart we are. The word says, even when a fool keeps silent, he's thought to be wise. Because people don't know. But for you and for me, we can be quietly confident that we know the truth. We don't have to announce that to everyone. We simply need to be patient. True knowledge will be demonstrated in humble action. If you and I have true understanding, then we're going to walk in a quiet confidence doing the work of ministry without sounding all the bangs and the bells and the whistles like the religious did in the Gospels, to be seen of men and all the good works they were doing. The only one that we need to see doing what we're doing is the one who will see what we're doing, and that's the Lord. He's the only one that matters. The rest don't matter. Verse 25, I love the verse. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. What is weighing you down this morning? What is weighing me down? What load am I carrying that is causing me to stoop? The word declares that we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. Whatever burden you're carrying, we need to hand it over to the Lord and allow him to carry it, to bring it to resolution, to walk with us through the challenge and the trial. Hebrews 12 says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. If I find myself stooping, I'm carrying the wrong load, whether it's a need to repent of decisions that I've made or a situation, a circumstance that I have no ability to control, whatever it happens to be, I need to deal with it with my Heavenly Father. Here it is, Lord. I can't deal with this. Only you can deal with this. Take this load, please. I'm tired of stooping. I'm ready to stand. And he will meet you. He will meet us there in that place. You know, as we close our time together, verse 26 declares, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. The slothful man roasts not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof, there is no death. We need to make sure to choose well with whom we have relationship. It is so important. We need to link up with those who are righteous. The way of the righteous is life. I read an interesting statement, and I really appreciated it. The writer says, show me your friends, and I will show you your future. That's an important statement. Who is your best friend? I hope the answer is Jesus. Jesus should be our best friend. We have lots of other friends and acquaintances, but if we walk with him, we will find ourselves taking care of that which we value the most. And that is our relationship with him. We don't want to do anything that would cause us to turn away from him. The idea that living a righteous life before God is bad or boring is just wrong. It just is. People say, oh, I want to be a Christian. That's really boring. I'd rather go out and come home and talk to the toilet, you know, all night. That's a lot of fun. That's the way people live again and again and again. They go out and do it. Don't get caught up in that. Walk with the Lord. Be faithful. God has an exciting journey for you, for me. And it's an amazing journey. Mind-blowing in so many ways. And just the acknowledgement that he can use us for who we are. We know our own limitations. And yet, in spite of our weaknesses and failures and limitations, God brings glory to himself through you, through me. How awesome is that? So we need to be those who love instruction, because there we will learn the Jesus pathway. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom of Solomon and the preservation of that wisdom, Lord. Father, I pray that as we consider that statement, that we should love instruction, That we would take that to heart, Father, and that we would purpose, Lord, to listen to those who you put in our lives to speak truth. Beginning with your Holy Spirit, Lord, but also those who we have relationship with in this world. And help us, Lord, to be a source of counsel as well to those around us. Help us, Lord, to be repositories of your word so that when people need help or hope or direction, Father, we can take them to your word and show them what you've said about those things. I pray, Father, that as we walk with you faithfully, Lord, that it would serve to strengthen us personally, that it would strengthen us maritally, Lord, that it would strengthen us in our family relationships, that it would strengthen us, Lord, in our body here. And Lord, that we then could join together to impact this world for Jesus. I pray the Lord would quicken you with understanding as you consider the things that we find here in chapter 12 of the book of Proverbs, that you would be enriched and strengthened and directed to a fuller service of the Master. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.